We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and segment number three getting underway here as we talk with an official from the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, Pottawatomie County Game Warden Travis Schulte, joining us here on the phone. Travis, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Pleasure to have you on here. We are going to talk about some events that are coming up here in the area. And first off, you believe it's already October almost?
Well, it definitely is. I don't know where the summer went. It seems to always go by in a blur. We stay plenty busy around here. We obviously have plenty of water and plenty of summer activities for folks to take part in. So summer seems to move just as fast as fall. But it is here, and that means hunting season is began, and we're shifting gears as game wardens and moving out into the woods and not so much the water.
One thing we typically talk this time of year with Ben on is watching out for deer, because mating season's upon us, and you know they're out a little bit more frequently here during the fall, and we just advise people to be careful if they're driving.
Absolutely. You know, we obviously here in Kansas have no shortage of deer, and unfortunately that means, you know, deer and vehicle collisions are quite common, especially in the fall. You know, a big thing is just trying to be as aware as you can. You know, if you can, even slow down 5-10 mile an hour at night. In the evening, morning hours, you know, deer are more active, especially when we get into hunting season. Deer see more pressure during the daytime with hunters, so they tend to do a lot more of their moving in the later hours or overnight, which unfortunately means they're crossing roads, they're moving from point A to point B, and that doesn't bode well for motorists. The big one, you know, highway patrol, most law enforcement always recommend, you know, if by chance you do encounter a deer on the roadway, they encourage you not to swerve. A lot of times that swerving can cause more damage or unsafe conditions than possibly striking that animal and staying on the roadway. So just be careful and be as safe as you can on the roadway.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do happen to get in an accident, it's best to probably just stay in your car and call law enforcement, right?
Absolutely. Stay in your car. You're not sure what the conditions are around you. Obviously, if where you're at is an unsafe environment, then get yourself to a safe environment. But immediately call law enforcement, and they'll be en route to help you.
All right. Well, we change the calendar here tomorrow to October. And we see what's coming up here in our area. We've got some events starting as soon as next weekend. Talk about this Kansas River battery case and trash cleanup you got going on.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool thing. Kansas Friends of the Call, they've been doing this for a few years now. They link up with a few other nonprofit organizations, but they're doing a battery cleanup, but in theory, it's just trash cleanup. Their target item are these old battery cases that litter all these sandbars, especially downriver from Manhattan. So on October 9th, they're going to do a launch from the Highway 24 Blue River Bridge ramp. They'll go downstream into the Kansas River, start making piles of trash, and then we'll actually have two or three, four vessels that are scuttling the trash from the sandbars to the boat ramps, where they've got skid loaders and big dumpsters that we're able to get a bunch of stuff cleaned up. It's a volunteer thing. They do have pre-registration. If you go to the Friends of the Call Facebook page, you can go on there. You'll be able to find the actual event. It then has a link for you to go ahead and pre-register. It kind of tells you all the information, gives you some ideas of what to bring. You know, obviously, a life jacket, bringing your own vessel, whether a canoe, a kayak, food and water. Make sure you got sturdy shoes, gloves, and you know, other things you can bring are 5-gallon buckets. They obviously help, but they'll have trash bags, they'll have some snacks, they'll have water refill stations. But it's a really cool program, and they do a lot of good on that river.
Yeah, that's great. How do people sign up to participate with that if they want to come out and volunteer?
Go to the Click to the Call Facebook page. There'll be an event on there, just scrolling through their actual page, and it'll have a link. You can click the pre-registration link. It'll bring you to the website. You can go ahead and get signed up.
That's great. If we got, just imagine if we had a lot of volunteers on that, how quickly the things would get cleaned up there. And I know that, you know, we deal with trash everywhere, but that's one area where you really like to see it not accumulate.
Yeah, unfortunately, those waterway systems like that accumulate a large amount of trash. So it's a great event. I know we typically have two or three airboats that we bring to the party, we've had anywhere from 30 upwards of 80, you know, vessels, as far as canoes and kayaks and volunteers, you know, putting into 100 volunteers for these programs. So they really do a great job.
All right. Well, that's next Saturday, October 9th, and it launches at 8 a.m. from the Big Blue River at Highway 24 ramp. Later in the day on next Saturday is the Flint Hills Fossil Hike put on by the Discovery Center.
Yeah. This is another good event. They've got a registration through the Discovery Center, but they're actually going to do the fossil hike out of Tuttle Creek State Park. You can either go in person to the Discovery Center. You can go to their Facebook page on Tuttle Creek's Facebook, or you can also call the Discovery Center. They also are taking pre-registration, but it's a great event. They have a lot of fun out there. A lot of times they mainly explore that old riverbed channel below the emergency spillway, and they've found some really cool stuff out there over the years.
All right. People will be looking forward to that if they want to get out to the Tuttle Creek State Park next weekend. This is a great event here, looking at the a little later in the month. I don't think we had this last year. I don't recall. The Little Apple Glow Paddle. That's a fun event out there.
Yeah. I think they've done it the last couple years, actually. It's moved. It used to be on the Kansas River itself, but just due to unforeseen conditions and the changing river conditions and not being able to prepare for that, they started moving it to the river pond itself. That allowed them to do a couple other events. Again, if you go to the Tuttle Creek Facebook page, you'll find the event for that. But it's from 7 p.m. 9 p.m. on October 23rd. There is registration for that. I think there is a registration fee. It's pretty minor, but you get a t-shirt with it. They do like costumes. They do a kind of a decorate your boat competition, and they'll do s'mores and some other things that evening after the paddle. But yeah, everybody wears glow sticks and you know, just paints their whole thing up with glow paint and then goes out for the evening and paddles. It's really cool to sit and just watch the boats, actually, but also great to be a part of.
Yeah, and perfect. Right before Halloween, I'm curious, I don't know if you know this or not, but last year on Halloween, there was some trick-or-treating that took place at Tuttle Creek State Park. Do you have any word on that, if that will continue this year?
That I'm not sure. You know, if anybody wants to inquire on that, you know, Colton State Park itself is going to be the best bet. You know, we are with COVID and everything. Everything's fluid. Things are changing. It could be a day of or a week of type decision for that. But I'm sure if they can, they will. And it's a great event. People have a lot of fun out there at the park. Kids can hit up a lot of campers in a hurry and go home with plenty of candy.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun last year when I tell this to a lot of people, you know, as bad as COVID's been the last 18 months, I thought Halloween was the one where people really got creative and did some neat things there, and that was one of them. We really enjoyed that, going out to that last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you mentioned we've got some hunting seasons around here. I'm not an avid hunter, so I'm a little bit unfamiliar to this. What do we typically see here as we head into the fall?
When we move into the fall, I mean, kind of our muzzleloader deer season's over, but archery deer season, which is our big one here in Kansas, especially eastern Kansas. You know, that started back on the 13th of September, and that runs through the end of December. You know, if you're a hunter that goes after some other type of game, we do have like antelope season, the rifle antelope season. That starts tomorrow on the 1st, and it only goes for 4 days. You know, it's the 1st through the 4th. So that's something that, you know, a lot of folks in eastern Kansas may not, you know, necessarily be aware of, that we have antelope or where they're at. Obviously, they're out on the western side of the state. But that's the firearm season is a draw, so you got to apply. So anybody who wished to do that this year would be late on that, so we'd be able to participate. But looking into that the future, it is an opportunity that maybe some may not be aware of. You know, something we have kind of in the Flint Hills through here is prairie chicken. That's something that, again, not a lot of folks maybe are aware we have or participate in that activity, but it's that's really neat that we have that opportunity here. So that's going on as well. That started on the 15th. That runs through the end of January of 2022. So kind of a unique experience to be able to go out and harvest a prairie chicken in Kansas in the Flint Hills. You know, we've got other stuff. You know, our dove season's still going. You know, if you're doing the fishing stuff, our bullfrog season, that's still going. Goes through the end of October. But a lot of folks are starting to get out to do some squirrel hunting. You know, with the cooler temperatures and things like that, you know, they're starting to lose some leaves on the trees, which makes squirrels a little more easy to target. So some folks are starting to get out there and do that as well. That goes through the end of February next year. Bag limits 5 per day per hunter. So that's something that's really fun. I remember being a little kid going out squirrel hunting. It's kind of one of the things you start out growing up doing, and you carry that. I think anybody from 6-year-olds up to 80-year-olds out there squirrel hunting, it's really cool.
Nice. With the going back to the antelope hunting season, can you explain why it's so short? Why it's only 4 days?
Antelope in Kansas we don't have a huge population, so that's kind of why the season's so short. It is, like I said, a draw only. They only give so many tags out per year, so that's a big reason why that season.
I see. Okay. And you mentioned also in their archery, that seems to be growing in popularity. Are there any classes that are going to be coming up locally on that, or is that something you typically do earlier in the year?
Unfortunately, again, COVID kind of shut down a lot of our classes. Our hunter education classes got shut down again in October, the way it's looking. So unfortunately, we don't have any coming up, but we typically do anywhere from 2 to 5 events, even at Tuttle Creek State Park, whether that's OK Kids Day, whether that's summer camp events, whether it's just simply kind of an introductory archery class. But a great place to find those is on Tuttle Creek's Facebook page. You know, I encourage everybody to go like that page, whether it's me as the game warden putting something on, or in conjunction with Levi Ganbink, the park manager, or Clayton, the park ranger. If it's in conjunction with them, either way, they still post all that stuff on their Facebook page. So those things usually are limited to 10 to 20 participants. So getting on there and registering early is encouraged. But that's where you'll see that if and when we can start doing those again.
All right. And we're talking with Travis Schulte. He's the game warden over in Pottawatomie County, joining us here on In Focus. Let's talk about late season boating safety. Boating safety is something we talk about a lot during the holiday weekends and such, but, you know, this is something, you know, people are still out on the lake here. The weather's been pretty nice.
Yeah, it has been. Obviously, with the kind of the two events we brought up too, the Little Apple Blow Paddle and the Kansas River Cleanup, you know, those are sound boating. So what we'd just like to remind folks of the general safety rules, they're there for them to keep them safe. Make sure they go home every day. Towards the later end of the season, the life jackets may get forgotten at home. They may have got moved. They may have used something and then put it on another boat and mixed up. So we just encourage people to kind of do a once over again. Make sure they go through all their gear. Make sure they've got the safety equipment before they hit the water. A big one is just temperature. You know, a lot of times they think, well, you know, it's still 70 degrees out or it's 65 degrees out. You know, that's still fairly warm for a lot of folks. But hypothermia, those kind of things, they do become more prevalent as we move through the fall. You know, even 70 degree water, you know, may not seem like it's very cold, but your body, once you're in 70 degree water, is immediately starting to cool down. Now, is it going to cool down extremely fast? No. But too much exposure for too long a time can create those problems. So just be aware of that. Have a plan when you go out on the water. Let people know where you're going, when you're going there, when you're expected to be home. That way, in case something does happen or you don't help when you're supposed to, we can make sure we're getting people out there to make sure you're safe.
All right. As far as camping and fishing opportunities, I know fishing specifically has opened up at the Tubes recently, and that has been a lot of fun to see going on.
It's still busy. It has slowed down. I think the folks who've been waiting to get out there kind of got their fill over the last month, and now they're just kind of intermittently mingling in. The fishing has slowed down. A lot of that fishing is dictated on the amount of releases that we have. You know, certain releases are better than others for fishing. Certain releases are better for certain species of fish for fishing. So that definitely has slowed down, but we're still seeing plenty and plenty of people out there accessing that area and enjoying it being open again. You know, fishing, I kind of migrate to the hunting world. I don't check as many fishermen as I typically do throughout the summer just because we've got so much stuff going on. So dividing my time up between it all gets tough. But the state lakes, they're starting to get busy again because of that's more primitive camping. There's no electricity and stuff like that out there. So you know, a lot of folks may not want to go camping in the middle of July in a tent when it's still going to be 95 degrees at night. Well, the evenings and the nights are getting cooler now, so we're starting to see a lot of business under our state lake.
To me, this is the best time of year to go camping, October, because the weather's just about perfect.
Yeah. It's great. You know, like I said, those state lakes, we've got Pottawatomie State Lake 1, which is north of Westmoreland, Pottawatomie State Lake 2, which is right here near Manhattan, and then we've got Cross Creek Reservoir in Pottawatomie County, which is on the east part of the county, north of the town of Emmett off of 63 Highway. Those are areas that I know better than maybe some in Riley County, as I don't cover Riley as much. But the cool thing about those lakes is they are free camping. There's no fees associated with it. It is all primitive, as I said, though. There's no electricity, vehicles and stuff, just on maintained roads with the camping pads. There's kind of areas that you can see that are designated for camping and great spots for that. They've got fire rings out there. Really, the only limitation to it is, you know, 14 days. So I guess if you're going to be there continually camping for up to 14 days. After that 14th day, technically you do need to get out and move to another area for at least a couple days, and then you're able to come back and camp. But, they're great opportunities. Don't cost a lot of money to do it. You can fish, you can bird watch, you can nature hike, you know, multiple opportunities at these areas.
All right. Lastly here, while we got you on the phone, I want to talk to you about Operation Game Thief, what it is and how to use it.
Yeah, Operation Game Thief is a great program that we've had for quite a few years. It allows citizens to turn in poachers. You know, it's a toll-free number. You can do it online if you wish as well. We've got on our KS Outdoors website, you can actually fill out a form. Fill out all the information. It allows people to remain anonymous. You know, sometimes folks, you know, they know information or maybe they want to get us information, but they just feel like they would rather remain anonymous. And that's totally fine. You know, we work for the citizens. We work for the sportsmen and women out there. You know, we need their help to be able to do our job effectively. You know, game wardens in Kansas, unfortunately, are pretty thin. We don't have a lot of eyes out there, so we rely heavily on the citizens, whether they're hunters, fishers, boaters, trappers, bird watchers, nature enthusiasts, if they see things, to report things. But it's an anonymous system that you can call in. It dispatches through a mobile dispatch. They then call the officer that it relates to directly, and then we follow up with whatever the complaint is. So whether that be just information that somebody might have, maybe it's a violation in progress, maybe it's things they heard about happening, they can use that and get the information to us to remain anonymous. But you can go to our website, KSOutdoors.com, go to our Operation Community section. You'll see the phone number there is 1-877-426-3843. Or there's an option to use a report form that you can fill out that will then send to dispatch as well.
All right. A lot of good information here this morning from Travis Schulte, Pottawatomie County Game Warden with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. Travis, thanks a lot, and I appreciate talking to you.
All right, thanks again, Brandon.
All right, stay tuned. More in Focus continues after this on News Radio KMAN.